This episode of Creepy Kingdom is brought to you by Bat in Your Belfry. Bat in Your Belfry is a collection of original macabre art and art pieces, with many Haunted Mansion and Nightmare Before Christmas inspired prints available. They also have pieces inspired by Harry Potter, The Witch, Edgar Allan Poe, Chernabog, Krampus, and so much more. Check out Etsy.com/shop/Bat in Your Belfry and use coupon code CREEPY to get 10% off your order. That's Etsy.com/shop/Bat in Your Belfry.
Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to Creepy Days, where we take a look back at some of the top Halloween events of 2016, including a look at the Halloween events at every Disney park in the world. Coming up in this episode, we take a look back at the Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. Howdy, folks. I am here with Machete McGrew.
Hey, everyone.
And I am James H. Carr II, the host of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, in case you didn't know. And we are doing Creepy Days. Creepy Days is extending on as we talk about all the Halloween activities that took place in September and October of 2016. I know it's now November, and a lot of people are like, Halloween's over, you guys, but we did so much stuff together, separately, that they can't see you shaking your head.
We did so much.
Yes.
I'm still writing reviews.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I stated earlier, if you heard some of our other haunt reviews, just kind of letting the Creepy Kingdom fans know that there might be some Halloween events they might want to check out next year, or if they went, they can reminisce. You know, we are focused in Southern California, so that's where the reviews with Shannon and I will be.
Yes.
But, you know, if you listen to some of the other ones, you know, we are individually, but the show went to Tokyo. Can you believe it?
Woo!
Tokyo. Anyways, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. Very excited. One of my favorite things that we did this year. We're going to talk about Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. So I think it's important to kind of backtrack a little bit before we get into the event and explain for non-Southern California locals what the heck is the Queen Mary.
I mean, the Queen Mary has a whole bunch of history to it. I don't know off the top of my head the full history of the Queen Mary, but what I do know is that it is supposedly haunted.
Supposedly. So that was kind of fun that they actually put a haunted attraction at a haunted space. But Queen Mary is, it's not quite the Titanic, but it was a huge ship sailed at some point long ago. I don't know, 30s maybe? I don't know.
It was a long time ago.
And it's been docked in Long Beach, California for a long time. And when I was growing up out here, you could go visit the Queen Mary, and what used to be there, which is not there any longer, was the Spruce Goose, which was one of the largest planes that ever flew.
Oh.
And it's not there anymore. I don't know where it is. I'm not an expert on this. And also a little trivia for Disney fans out there. So, again, I don't know the history of all this stuff, but I do. What I do know is in the mid-90s, Disney acquired the Queen Mary and the Spruce Goose. They owned the actual property. They owned the land there because it's right there on the water. It's about half an hour from Disneyland, give or take, with traffic. And they actually were planning to build a theme park here. And they did a lot of research, and they came up with a lot of concepts. Why that did not came to be is a story that I'm not prepared to tell you. But what I can say is that a lot of those concepts did go into Disney Sea, which is the second – is it called Disney Sea? If it's not, forgive me. But it's the second theme park at Disneyland Tokyo. So a lot of those concepts did carry over there. But I always like to think how fun it would be if actually Disney did create another theme park right on the water in Long Beach.
That'd be awesome.
This was before DCA existed. You know, this was... You know, this was going to be the second park in Southern California. So it's interesting to see the ties to Disney and the theme park industry. So Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, or the people that run it, because it's a separate entity from Queen Mary, right?
I mean, it's part of the Queen Mary.
Okay. We haven't cracked that case yet either, but they put on this Halloween event, and they also put on a Christmas event as well.
Yes.
So they have these seasonal things that are kind of theme parkish, for lack of a better phrase, right? I mean, you know, of course there's haunts all over the place, but with Queen Mary, I feel like the production value is pretty high.
And you get to explore the Queen Mary itself. And some of the haunts.
Right. Well, that's a one-of-a-kind unique thing. I mean, other places you simulate being in things. You can't, you're actually going through the depths of the ship.
Right. Because
they have three separate mazes that are actually on the Queen Mary. A little teaser, which we'll get into there. So there's something really special about Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. You know, and... So let's just get into it, I guess.
Yeah. So with the Queen Mary, they have a few icons that come back year after year. Some of the most known ones would be Scary Mary, which we'll get into, Graceful Gale, Samuel the Savage. But this year they introduced a new icon, and his name was the Iron Master.
So these icons, just to elaborate more, they're actual characters that...
Yep.
That exist at Queen Mary Dark Harbor.
Yes. And this was a big icon for this year. He was going to be having his own new maze called Intrepid. And, you know, something that is very cool about Queen Mary is their makeup and costume design is, like, incredible.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's some of the best.
It's top notch. That's why I said it's like... theme park quality.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on into the mazes themselves, the first one we went into was Intrepid, which is home of the Iron Master. And a little background on it, the synopsis is, do you dare go to where it all began? Meet the mastermind, the creator, and now the protector of the Queen Mary. The Iron Master has returned to reclaim the precious vessel he built, fiercely guarding it from the antics of the freaks and ghouls. Follow his maddening journey if you dare step aboard. I personally was not a huge fan of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because when you go into a maze, you don't want to see what's going to be coming at you. You know, the whole point of going to a haunted maze or a haunted house is the element of surprise, of being scared. And with this maze in particular, they had so many chain link fences that you could see all the action happening before it was your turn to experience that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of took away from the experience as a whole, and overall was kind of a missed opportunity.
I can agree with that somewhat. I agree with what you said. But you could see him coming, you know. There was a few times where there was, like, so much fog that...
Yeah.
That you couldn't... but I agree. That was kind of different. That you could see what was going on around. We went through this twice on two separate evenings. And... apparently some other people we know went through it, and there was a point where you had to crawl. That never happened to us. And I still don't know where that would have been.
It was in the beginning. Like right after you walk in and you go by the chairs to your left and Some people went upstairs and some went forward.
I didn't even see where stairs were. Obviously, people that didn't experience it know what we're talking about. But so that's interesting, I guess. But the other thing that I found interesting was you mentioned the beginning. The beginning, is it – were you like walking through a train?
I think so.
Like a train car, which I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it was a pretty cool effect.
Yeah.
Like you're on a moving train. I'm not sure what that has to do with Intrepid or...
I'm not either.
Like that, but I thought it was cool.
I don't think I ever even thought about that.
I don't know. I thought it was cool.
The train on the ship.
So you're like, all right.
I mean, some of the set design was really, really cool. Like seeing the molten lava forming the anchor. Like that was really cool. And... that's pretty much the only thing that stands out.
Well, the other thing that stood out to me, since I'm going to play devil's advocate here with the positive, was we walked by this guy that was in a chain link fence, and you kind of have to do a U around him. And he, as we made the turn around him, he picked up and threw a metal barrel. At, you know, and pretty much connected with the corner of right where I was, like, was walking as I turned the corner. And I thought that was, I even made a note if you remember. I was like, that was pretty good. Because your instinct is like, wow, I'm about to be hit with a barrel.
That's fair.
You know, so that was good use of that space, but overall it seemed to be missing something.
Yeah, I mean, we went in it again on Halloween.
So we went full disclosure, we went the first night, and then we went the last night.
Right.
So we got to see both sides of it, and I actually went another time without you.
Yes.
I have that other extra added perspective on this, but as you and I review the haunts, we actually can talk about how they evolved.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the second time I went through it was a bit better. That was on Halloween. They put, like, a black tarp over the chain link fences so you couldn't see what was around the corner. So I think they kind of got the hint that having those chain link fences weren't working in their favor.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we said all I need to say on Intrepid.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's true. So it did evolve to that. But
yes.
So maybe, and they also, they tend to, you know, like a lot of haunts do, like the places that have multiple haunts, bring back the same things every year and then bring back many of the same mazes with slight changes.
Yeah.
So this is the first year of this one. So, you know, we'll see where it evolves next year, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of mazes that they've brought back, the next one is Circus Big Top Terror. And the synopsis of this one is, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, and experience the world's most horrifying circus. Face your greatest fears as you wander through a terrifying tent of terror. Disorienting illusions, manacle magic acts, and a slew of sideshow freaks are certain to shock, stun, and startle even the bravest of souls. So this one was interesting for me because last year, hands down, I thought this was the worst maze. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like anything about it. And this year, I absolutely loved it, and it's one of my favorites. So
I'm thinking about that, and it doesn't seem too different to me besides the fact that last year's seemed a lot more open. Like, the ceiling was open, and there was more open spaces. And this year, it seemed like it was tighter. Like, it was more enclosed, a little more claustrophobic, if you will.
I like the beginning where we were told to go to different areas.
Different doors.
Different
doors. So you walk in and there's like a series of six doors.
Yeah, I like that. I liked, you know, they have a ball pit and you go through the ball pit and...
there's a scare actor in the ball pit.
Which is awesome. And...
a crazy clown.
Yeah. There was like a puppet guy that I really liked.
Yeah, I don't think he was there last year.
Yeah, there was aspects of that haunt that weren't there last year.
Okay.
And I just thought they nailed it this year. I absolutely loved it.
And then we go into an area that is almost pitch black.
Yes.
And there's just scare actors all around you. What we're describing might sound a little intense, but I don't really feel like there's really any intense moments in any of the haunts here.
No.
I don't understand why in the circus things went pitch black and you just hear scare actors. You basically hear them all around you,
right,
making noises. You know, you can't see you to jump out at you because you can barely right. see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. I think overall I had such a positive experience going through both times. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, one thing I don't like, which I just don't like anywhere at any point, is the mirror mazes.
Yeah, I mean, the mirror one's always, you know.
But, I mean, just to be fair, there were some pretty good scares in there because...
Yes.
Because they were hiding behind mirror walls, so you would think there's nothing there, and then someone would pop out of thin air.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that chance you're going to run into the mirror and...
Well, not mine. I follow you, so...
That's true. I have run into mirrors, though, and mazes, so...
I just follow your lead.
That is a true statement.
I did not go through that house without you, so that was not one of the ones I did the night I went without you, so...
So moving on to the next maze, this one is called Dead Rise, The Depth of Darkness. And Dead Rise is a World War II escort ship that helped guide the Grey Ghosts through enemy-infested waters. After a fatal crash during one of their dangerous voyages, Dead Rise sank to the bottom and has been resting in her watery grave in the depths of the sea ever since. The wreckage of Dead Rise has once again been called into service by the Star of Dark Harbor, the captain, to escort him in his
Armadad, yeah, sure.
of ghosts and monsters into a battle against the living to reclaim Dark Harbor.
Yeah, the people that write these synopses for Dark Harbor love thesauruses.
They're yes. like, they're very descriptive, and I appreciate that because it helps to, when writing reviews, to be able to go back to that and remember what you went through. Last year, I loved Dead Rise. This year, I had some problems with it.
I can't think of any difference between this year and last year. Do you?
Well, I think I think the issues that I had with it was, and I had this with another maze that we'll get to, is that I kept seeing changeouts happen. So
in Dead Rise, you saw changeouts?
Yeah. So changeouts being actors changing out for new actors coming in. So I ran into that in Dead Rise.
Opening night or last night?
Or opening night. I didn't go in it again on Halloween.
Oh, that's right. We didn't do it. Yeah. I did it again without you.
That's yeah. I liked the concept of it. I loved last year when there's an area at the end that you walk through. It's almost like a shipping container. It is a shipping container. And it's all filled with fog. And last year you come face to face with the captain, who is such an iconic symbol for Dark Harbor. And he was absent this year.
The captain was in the Dead Rise?
Last year, yeah.
Wow. And the captain, that's his name, the captain?
Yeah.
And just, we haven't really described who he is. I mean, he's dressed like a captain, but he looks like he's part octopus or something.
Well, it's like, was it barnacles?
Yeah, yeah.
Like on his face, and they're green, and it's really incredible. Like, and he's such a known figure in like the Dark Harbor universe, so... You know, seeing him come out of the fog last year was really, really cool. And then not seeing him this year, I was kind of like, wah, wah.
Really? I didn't even know I missed him.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same. They're kind of zombie dead-esque sailors that are coming out. And they come at you all the way, and there's... Is there fire
There is fire. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not covered, so it's kind of outside. So yeah. Fire around a lot of rust.
Yeah, the set like design is incredible.
Yeah. One thing, though, that happened this year, which I don't remember from last year, was that there's like a water bomb that you walk by. Like there's like a bunch of water, and then somebody triggers something, and it splashes on you.
Yes.
And then you have to go around something like and there's a fence, and essentially they get you again. I got completely soaked. The first night I didn't, and they may have told the not to do it so much because we were covering it as media, and then only right. media was going through at this point, and they had, you know, cameras
right.
and stuff, which I was, you know, I had my video camera. But the second time I didn't, and I didn't have it out, as it were, and I got completely soaked. Like, I mean, that's exaggerating. I got really soaked. Like, like completely soaked would mean head to toe. But, and you know, more than I cared for it. Let's just say that. You know, that's not something that I'm super interested in happening to me. You know, as a glasses wearer, I don't really like water hitting me in my face. Let's just say that.
I enjoyed it, so I was fine with that.
Right, because like, it was probably still hot, which it's still hot right now yeah. as we record this in November in Southern California. There's no season. This is summer year-round.
So now we've done all the haunts that are outside of the ship. We now head to the haunts that are located within the ship, and they're only located in a certain area of the ship, which is pretty much like the underbelly of it.
Yeah.
You know, during normal Queen Mary business hours, well, it is a hotel, so you can stay within the ship. So there's yeah. only certain areas that you can go into for the haunts.
In the bowels of the ship.
Yeah. And they're some of the best, like, atmosphere for a haunt you could ask for.
God, I mean, they're just creepy, like, without yeah. anything being in there, you know, let alone this is the area that claimed to be haunted. So yeah. I don't know if, you know, if you're into that, if you're not, you know, take it with a grain of salt or be excited about it or not, but it definitely adds to the fun of it, I guess yeah. I can say that.
So the first one is Lullaby, and Lullaby features Scary Mary, who is this girl who has died. And there's some rumors and urban legends that Scary Mary, her soul still, you know, resides in this ship.
So she's super stoked about people pretending to be her for profit.
Yes. So the synopsis of that one is, bring around the rosy, a pocket full of nightmares. The new Lullaby Maze takes the visitor on a spine-tingling trip to the story of Little Scary Mary. Gone, but certainly not forgotten, Mary is looking for playmates to join her on the other side of hell. Will you succumb to the youngers' pranks and tricks, or will you escape with your soul intact?
Youngers. Is that some kind of old-timey way to say youngster?
I think so.
Youngers. I've never heard that one before.
I love Scary Mary. She's probably one of my favorite icons. I think she's hysterical. You meet her multiple times throughout the maze, and she's always trying to play some sort of, like, hide-and-seek and murder or
yeah.
whatever the case may be. It's not necessarily the scariest maze, but, like, it's a lot of fun regardless.
Yes. I mean, I can't see a difference between this one this year and last year that stood out to me, if there was a difference.
But I didn't really see a difference.
Last year was its debut year, I believe. So they probably didn't feel like they needed to switch it up. I could be wrong on that. I don't know. But Scary Mary is a great character. She's very interactive and has a lot of fun. And overall, I found that all the actors in this maze, particularly I think I went through this every time I went. So I went through it three times. The first time we went, I think, you know, it was the whole thing, you know, people were just getting their
yeah.
getting their footings, you know, it wasn't on 10.
Right.
But the last two times I went, I really noticed that the actors inside of this maze were just incredible.
Yeah.
Like, they were just in it, and they were delivering it.
To win
like,
it.
To win it. Like, there's this one part where you walk by some kind of nanny or nun
yep.
or something like that, and she is intense. She's just like, she's like, oh, man. and you just realize, like, you know, these people aren't phoning it in. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is...
No.
The quality is so good. Like, the
yeah.
you know, the cast, the design, and going through these weird, creepy, dark spots of the ship.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you're just like, wow. And Mary's such a fun character. And this, I know I brought this up to you recently, but I'll say it on the show. I feel like the characters at Dark Harbor are just so rich that they feel like they're part of something else other than the haunt. Like,
yeah,
like they're from a movie or, you know,
yeah.
Like you want to see more of these characters.
Well, yeah. Cause I mean, they really flesh them out and the descriptions of them and their backstories, you know, which brings us to your favorite icon,
yes.
which is Graceful Gale, and she resides in the haunt called Soulmate Till Death Do Us Part. Gale has been haunting Dark Harbor looking for a soulmate since her mysterious disappearance. Meandering maze of mystery, Soulmate is where Graceful Gale lures potential suitors with her charm. Beware of her minions, whose job it is to chop up her suitors and reassemble them into the perfect man. Once you've been smitten by Graceful Gale, there is no escaping, even after death.
Escaping?
Now that I've read the description and I remember the haunt, it all makes sense now. Because I was like, why are there so many body parts
in
this haunt?
Well, that's, you don't really understand why you're going through what the story is. It's not
right.
really that clear. But independent of that, so this was one of my favorite ones from last year. And I would say for the most part, they like completely changed the maze.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a whole new thing with the same characters, which is a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed the one last year. But, you know, this year, like Shannon, you know, just told you, it was my favorite. I absolutely loved it. With Gale, I guess it's just my favorite character. I mean, there's... To be fair, Scary Mary is probably like my favorite character, but Graceful Gale, like, it's probably my like the way that she looks. I think it's absolutely like incredible. I think it's stunning. Like
yeah.
she's like she's kind of almost like a ghost or something. Like she's just like completely all white. Like her dress is white, her hair is white. Besides her eyes,
which are bleeding,
around. Like it just she's like from the 30s or something like that. So it's got her hairstyle's kind of that like that kind of style, that kind of flapper style.
It's really rich.
Like I love the character. So went on this three times. Went on it. I walked through. the first night I thought it was absolutely incredible. I loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't quite have the same feeling the second and the third one. I liked the third one a little better than the second one, but the second one I was so excited to do it again. You know, and I'm trying to pinpoint why that is. One thing is that there was something that was at the beginning of the maze, which I
yes.
thought really added, that was absent the second and the third time.
And that's when you get to meet Graceful Gale.
In her mortal, corruptible mortal state.
Yes. Before she crosses to the other side. But I think that was just mainly for media to kind of... I think it would be hard for them to do that with massive amounts of people.
Well, I mean, basically what we're describing there is that we enter this kind of area where there's nothing really going on there, and she's standing in there, and she's just kind of talking to us, and there wasn't really a lot of people around us.
Right.
The other times I went through, the second and third, it was like full conga line
yeah.
you know, walk through. So... but she could still just kind of be there. I don't know why she's not there, because that her as a mortal or whatever before she died is not anywhere else
right
in the maze at all.
Right. Yeah. No, I thought it was cool. You even get to go through this area of the ship where you get to see the propellers.
Yeah.
Which was incredible. And that's where we met, you know, the in flesh and blood, Graceful Gale.
Right.
Who was clearly confused and a bit distraught, which probably explains why she died.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever found out why.
I'm not sure. I feel like that was explained last year because they had like a video.
Oh, that yeah, that's
before
true.
Before you go inside.
Yeah.
So maybe that was explained. It just adds to what I'm saying. It's like they're telling a story. Like you get a little bit different pieces of it every year. Like
right.
This particular maze. Like that's what I kind of. That's what. Like even though it's like, I hope she's coming back. It's coming back again.
Yeah.
Even though it's coming back. Oh, I went through that last year. It's like no, you're getting like another chapter.
Yeah.
That's really what I felt like, and I don't feel like I've experienced anything like that at any other haunt. Even not Scary Farm, which repeats things, they're not telling a different chapter. They're just presenting it slightly differently.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, that's pretty unique.
No, I definitely agree. So moving on to our last maze. Oh, actually before that.
Yeah, but like, why are we leaving Soulmate already?
I know, I'm sorry. I was going to say, with Soulmate, as much as I loved it, this was actually the one that I had the biggest problem with in terms of changeouts. It was a constant slew of actors changing out and being, you know, and then seeing it.
That happened on the first night. I don't think that, I didn't see
it. No,
that
it didn't happen on Halloween. It happened the first night. But it, as much as I enjoyed the maze overall, it definitely took me out of the experience seeing so many people being changed out throughout the course of that experience.
So what do you think the remedy of that is? You know, like, I mean, a lot of other haunts do it all the time and we don't really see it. Do you feel like it's because...
It probably has to do with timing and pacing and...
There's that, and I feel like a lot of what the people you encounter, they're not really hiding.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there was a lot. I think it was because it was opening night and issues with timing and pacing. Because, you know, by Halloween, I didn't see anybody change out. So
I never saw it again. And like I said, it was actually more crowded than other times. I mean,
right.
And the time I went without you.
Yeah.
Where I feel like the night we went, there was lots of gaps.
Right.
Like, we weren't really around a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, which made it, you know, which, of course, made it enjoyable. And there was one scene where you go inside, like, I guess it's her dressing room.
Yes.
And she's in there. And I that's one of my favorite scenes. Not because it's creepy or anything, but, she's creepy because she's in there. But she's just, like, you, it's super interactive. Like, you, that's something I loved about it. It's, like, you feel like you're really a part of what's going on.
Yeah.
Instead of you know, an observer.
Yeah. Well, I think the actors make it so that you are a part of it, which is, it's nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I can't say that's necessarily, I don't know if that's like that in every house of Queen Mary, but that one in particular, that first night, I really, especially since, you know, you meet her in the beginning and then, you know, like, You feel like she's kind of following you around because you keep showing up.
Right.
I could have used a little more of her towards the end. I felt like it is super long. I feel like it's like the longest, longest one.
I think that one and B340.
Which is the last one we're getting to.
Yeah. Are probably the longest.
All right. Well, I've said about, I let everyone know Soulmate's my favorite. I look forward to getting more of the Graceful Gale and seeing where we go from there. Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too. So we can move to B340.
All right. So this is B340, A Descent into Insanity. What would drive a man to madness and murder? That's the answer B340 attempts to answer as we take a schizophrenic sojourn into the psychotic mind of Samuel the Savage. Tight spaces, darkness mixed with flashing lights and pulse-pounding noises would drive anyone to the brink of insanity. Beware the wrath of violence of Samuel the Savage and be careful not to lose your head or your mind.
So even after you read that, I'm still unclear what exactly is going on in this house.
Yeah, I've never been really clear to what it is either.
It seems like an abandoned school or something. Is it an insane asylum too? Or what?
I don't know. I feel like I had heard that B340 was one of the rooms in the ship. I don't really know what it is. I know last year I thought it was one of the creepiest mazes that they had. This year it was pretty much the same exact thing, but I will say I had one of the best scares throughout my whole time of haunts in this one specifically.
What, I mean this whole season?
Yeah.
I think I know what it is.
Probably. I was climbing up stairs to get to the next area of the haunt, and there was a scare actor hiding underneath the stairs, and he put his hand out, and I almost had a heart attack. I was not expecting it.
Well, just to be clear, too, there's a lot of areas of the mazes that are on the ship where there's nothing going on there.
Yeah.
Just because it's on the ship. It's not like every part of the maze
right.
is decorated or, you know, or whatever. So,
yeah.
And particularly the stairwells are usually nothing.
Yeah. Typically, you wouldn't see something like
that. So not only was there an actor underneath the stairs. What, like when he appeared to grab, like he clicked a light on.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was like super jarring. It's like you think you're safe walking up these stairs, which you do all throughout Soulmate and Scary Mary. And I don't know what it was. I think I saw him get the person before you. So I was like, I knew it was coming.
I had no idea it was coming. No idea. It was good. They got me.
I did go to this one again without you, but we didn't do it the other night. So I did do it twice. And I don't remember the second time the person being under the stairs. So maybe I missed them or maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it was just a one-off.
Yeah.
But it was effective. So good job, guys.
I mean, it's definitely a good maze. The beginning of it seems pretty cool because the recurring theme of the haunts on the ship are that they seem to take place in like the 30s.
Yeah.
So a lot of the set design kind of reflects that.
Yeah.
So, I said, I'm still not quite sure what is going on in this maze. But
I don't know. I have no idea. But those were all the mazes that we did on, you know, opening night. And then we had the chance to go back for two different events. I did not go to the second one, but I did go to the third one. So, James, you should tell us a little bit about Sliders Unite.
All right, sure. Before we get into that, I feel like I want to talk a little bit more about the atmosphere, sure. Just around the grounds, because it's kind of like a Twisted Carnival.
Yes, you know. And they have, if you know those swings that you see at theme parks all the time, they're actually from Neverland Ranch.
Right. These, if, for Disney fans, the silly symphony swings in DCA, you know, generic, all things like that. But yeah, they actually have that there, and it's from Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch.
Yes.
So take that for what you will. That is there. But a lot of the facades and everything, it's just kind of like a creepy carnival, and it's a really fun atmosphere to be around.
Yeah.
I would say, what, about every 2 or 3 minutes from top of the building, a giant burst of fire flame bust out.
It's cool to look at, but not when it's...
You can feel that stuff from far away.
Yeah, not when it's like 80 degrees outside.
At 9 o'clock here.
Yeah.
So there's that. But also amongst this area, there is a... there's two upcharge events.
Yes.
Or not events, attractions. One is a shooting gallery. Like it's a paintball?
Paintball, yep.
Which you and I did not do, so no. We cannot report on that. And the other is you get to sideshow, which I find it very interesting that that's an upcharge event, but I guess it's probably run put on separately.
Probably
the event, because based on the talent,
and it seems also like it's a place that people can rest without being bothered by huge amounts of crowds.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a little bit of a VIP area. Also, I want to point out too, if you were like balling and you got mad cash, they have private cabanas that
which
you can visit
awesome.
All night. They're super awesome. But,
yeah,
but anyways, back to the sideshow thing. The sideshow thing is cool because there's actually a maze on the way to the sideshow area.
Which got me as well.
Yeah. It's very subtle, but it is very effective.
Yeah.
Last year, they had it so you go to the sideshow, and then there's these little mini mazes that you could go through if you feel like it. But you didn't have to go through them to get to the sideshow. And then this year, you had to, which I liked it a little better because you kind of felt like there was a reward at the end of getting through the maze.
It was much more immersive, at least when I went through it, which was on Halloween night. It was very immersive and quiet, and kind of creepy, and there's fog rolling. It was
Plus, since it's a upcharge event, you're not going to be in a conga line going through this. You're pretty much going to be by yourself.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. In the sideshow itself, I mean, it's kind of, if you're familiar with that kind of stuff, you know what it is. If you're not, people doing fun little tricks, you know.
They're quote-unquote freaks.
Yeah, there's not really freaks there. You
right.
Know?
But there's people that are, like, doing, you know, the fire, like swallowing fire
breathers,
and
juggling knives, you know,
all that stuff.
Dangerous activities.
Yeah. And there's a big sign behind them that says freaks.
Yep, and there's a bar back there there's not a lot of people there, like they said, so it's...
I enjoyed the time we spent there.
Yeah, it's a good place to chill out and enjoy the show. And they also had another stage that everyone could enjoy, which had more fire...
Yes.
Acts. So I'm just trying to get everyone a whole feel of Dark Harbor, you know, like that you can go watch these, you could be the upcharge, the private show, I guess, or you can sit around and watch
the main stage.
But, so one particular night they had an event and it was called Sliders Unite.
Sliders United, breaking the stigma.
So let's talk about sliders and sliding. If people don't know what that is, I don't know. How would you even describe it? Like, if no one
it's
has
people,
no idea what it is.
They usually have, like, you'll see them they're running around and then they slide on their knees and they usually have like some metal clicky clacky things on their body.
They have on their knees and their hands.
Their knees and hands, and but they literally will slide.
So you'll be walking and then like in a scare zone type scenario, and then they'll just run up and then slide at your feet, which freaks out most people.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of sliders. I respect what they do. Sometimes I just think they get in the way, but everybody likes what they like.
And the thing about it is the act of slide, and plus obviously they're dressed up like weird and creepy and all that, but the sliding has become its own culture in the haunts in Southern California. I believe it started at Knott's Berry Farm. Not Scary Farm. And there's even a documentary that's out right now called The Sliders of Ghost Town. Ghost Town being a section of Knott's Berry Farm. So this particular night, they had invited sliders from all the haunts in Southern California to
Who's competing? To work together.
They weren't really competing against each other. They were just doing things together and breaking some slider records, I guess, for how many people they could jump over or slide over like that. And so it was a very special event, and people came out in droves. I went there 3 times. This was the most crowded, packed night.
Yeah,
even more than Halloween. Like, it was like this Sliders Unite thing really drove people out.
Well, what I saw from online, it looked packed. Just people that were there, trying to get there. So I'm glad that they had a huge turnout. I think that's great.
Yeah. I mean, it was more crowded than Halloween, which I think is nuts.
Well, Halloween was on a weekday, so.
Right. People probably celebrated the whole weekend.
I don't know.
But anyways, you would just still expect the most crowded night of a haunt to be Halloween.
Of course.
No matter what day of the week it is. And I believe they run 7 nights a week. Or do they not?
I don't think they run 7 days a week.
Okay.
No.
Maybe they run that the last week.
Maybe.
I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter now. We can find out for next year.
Yes.
But anyways, no, I put together a video for Nightmarish Conjurings that you can check out, a little highlight reel of that.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I went, so I covered that event with Nikki. And some of our listeners might know her as the social media ghoul for Foolish Mortals. And she actually was a huge fan of sliding and knew a lot about it and was able to write a pretty comprehensive review of the event.
Yeah.
So she was the right person. You sent the right person to cover it.
Yeah, not even knowing.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Not too much else to say about that, but...
And then we went on Halloween, which was lovely. It was probably our most chilled night that we've had for the haunt season.
Particularly since we weren't there to do the mazes. We were there to cover the show that they were doing. So
yes. There
was no like, all right, we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to,
And the show was being hosted by Bridget Marquette. I think that's how you pronounce her last name, from some of you may know her as a Playboy bunny or on Girls Next Door.
For the television show. No, yes. She's not a Playboy bunny.
Oh, no, she was one
she
of...
Was, she
I'm
was
sorry.
On Girls Next Door, but she was...
She was not, one she, of Hef's girlfriends.
She was not able to become a Playboy bunny,
yes.
Which I was informed by Cupcake Terror, who is apparently a huge fan of Bridget's, because she schooled me on all this stuff.
Yes. So she was hosting the event. And it was great. I mean, we got to go through some of the mazes again. But really what I wanted to see was the drag show.
So yeah, they had a drag show and a costume contest that was hosted by Bridget.
And the drag show was incredible.
It was put on by...
The Jewels from Hamburger Mary's.
So I want to talk about Hamburger Mary here for a second.
Go for it.
So prior to... this past October, I was unaware that a Hamburger Mary existed, which is apparently a restaurant where all the servers are in drag. Or most of them, I don't know. I guess that's the vibe of it.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So, And the first time I ever heard of it was when we were in Orlando and I was interviewing someone for Foolish Mortals that worked there. It was a woman, not someone in drag. And they were describing what it was. Because apparently they have one in Long Beach, California, and also Tampa. I think it's in Tampa, Florida. I could be wrong on that, but whatever. It's obviously
it's there.
It's there. And then a friend of the show, Danielle, who you know we had on talking about Animal Kingdom, she was saying that she was going there, and you know all this stuff. And I kept hearing about it, and then. And then you brought it up to me randomly, saying that a friend of ours wanted to go there. And I'm just like, I'd never even heard of this place before. And it just keeps coming up. And there's one in Long Beach or somewhere around there. So it's kind of a weird thing that it – and then now they put on the show at Dark Harbor. So I don't know. This haunt season has been unofficially sponsored by Hamburger Mary. Yeah.
No, it was incredible. It was – I loved it. Like, I just loved it.
Well, it was sort of, I mean, the first act in particular was definitely Halloween themed. You know, beyond that, it wasn't really.
No.
So, you know, if
but
you're.
It was just fabulous.
Yeah. If you're, you know, if you're into that.
Yeah. I was.
Know, it was entertained.
Yes.
I mean, it was entertaining, to say the least.
And then right after that, they had the costume contest. And there's some pretty creative costumes, to say the least.
Yeah. Apparently the creative team were the judges for the most part of Dark Harbor. So it was kind of cool to see them all come out and as they announced what they did and kind of get some FaceTime. Because all these people are behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know? So it's cool to be like, oh, that's that person. And they created the costumes and you know, all that stuff. So it was fun.
And that was pretty much that.
Yeah, this one person that won had a Mystique costume, so that was fun. The only thing I thought was pretty fun, too, was that for some reason they couldn't say what they were. Like, they couldn't refer to them by their character names.
Oh.
Because they were filming it for something.
Okay.
I don't know what for or what. That,
yeah.
But they couldn't. Like they made a point of saying that they couldn't.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Label them, you know, because there was people dressed as there was two different Joker and Harley's, Suicide Squad version and comic book version, Willy Wonka and Oompa Loompa, but they were just coming up with different things to call. So they.
That's funny. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So. And then, but the person that won was dressed as Mystique, which.
And it was incredible.
It was a pretty incredible costume, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we all would have been shocked if she.
Yeah.
If she didn't win.
Agreed.
So that's what happened here. You know, it was the event that I went to the most this year. You know, pretty, you know. I, you know, there's some other things that came close. There's a few things I got to do twice. but like I was saying before, I think overall, you know, if you don't live in Southern California, you know, you're probably not going to take a trip out here to go to Dark Harbor. But if you are going to come out here to take part of one of the many, many different Halloween activities that take place in Southern California. I mean, you know, side rant here. Like, is there any area in the country where there's more concentrated number of Halloween haunts and interactive and shows?
Probably not.
Like, there's so many things in a... you know, 60-mile radius.
It's ridiculous. It's awesome. It's tiring.
Well, it's recovering, yeah. But, I mean, there's so much to choose from as a local. Like, this has, like, not even, you know, I'm sure there's stuff here that, not just Southern California, but Los Angeles and Orange County and the surrounding areas, like, it has to be the haunt mecca, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's nuts. So anyway, my point being, you're going to come out here, you're going to do a few different things, put this on the agenda.
Yeah, definitely.
Put it, you know, just put it on there.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, with that being said, I am going to... I'm kind of a little bit of announce something else I've been thinking about doing. Okay. Shan's got this look like, now what?
I'm just like, I gotta go to bed.
Whatever. we are recording at 3 o'clock in the morning, so it's understandable. So I mentioned on an earlier show, you weren't there, Shannon.
I figured, thank you.
That was when I was doing my Walt Disney World trip report. That, you know, I want to put together some type of thing that we can do, like a group tour of the Orlando Halloween activities.
I remember you talking about this.
Obviously, I brought that up to you. And, you know, as the more I thought about it, it's like, and the idea for that is early October, so that it can coincide with the Spooky Empire, the big horror Halloween convention that takes place. And then I'm like, you know what? But there's just so much awesome stuff out in California. You know, I'm just going to announce right now, I would like to do it in California at the end of the month. What I'm talking about is getting a group. Like, if people are going to travel, even if you're not going to travel, you can still take part of it. But if people are going to travel, it's like, we're just going to set up like a tour of the Creepy Kingdom, like, haunts. You know, all the details we worked out later. But so you don't have to think about it. You don't have to do anything. We'll all just go together. Well, you know. You know, we'll hit up, we'll go to Disneyland, obviously. We'll go to Mickey's Halloween Party. We'll go to Knott's Scary Farm. We'll go to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. And I would say that this is definitely, should be on that list, Queen Mary's Dark Harbor.
I don't know if I'll be attending this, but I think it is a great idea.
I'm sure. Pretty much, so in case we didn't clearly state that in this episode and you never listened before, Shannon runs the website Nightmarish Conjurings.
I do.
Which she's like, yes. Which, you know, covers all things horror, from haunts, films, and...
books, television shows, immersive theater, blah, blah, blah.
How about horror basketball games? Do you guys cover that?
Horror basketball games.
Cool. Anyways, so her schedule during the Halloween season is pretty nuts.
Yeah.
You know, to say the least. It's like she's doing something, you know, 5 to 6 nights a week for about 2 months.
Yeah, I'm still reeling from.
So that's why she's saying that she probably won't be there. But, you know, maybe she will be. Maybe part of the tour of a special Shannon McGrew meet and greet.
Maybe. I'll be like, hey, guys, I gotta go.
But anyways, I didn't bring this up to talk about if Shannon could be there or not. I just think that, and the reason I wanted to cover all this stuff on Creepy Kingdom, it's like, you know, come on out. Like, if you can go to the Orlando one, come out to that. If you can go to the Southern California one, if you can go to both. Most people are not going to be able to go to both, you know. But, you know, I'd say it's going to take, you know, about a week.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of intense, though, actually, the more I think about it. Actually hitting up all these things, like, back-to-back, day after day. We're going to need some, like, some off days. Some recovery days.
Yeah.
But, anywho. Yeah, can't wait for next year's Queen Mary event. And coming up very soon, they have a Christmas event. I guess let's get a little preview of that. Not too many places or theme parks. I mean, no, that's not true. Theme parks do Christmas stuff, but, you know, there certainly is not as many Christmas-themed events as Halloween event. And it's their Christmas event is family-friendly. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not like a you know, horror Christmas thing. But this year's event... is looking to be pretty cool.
Yes.
It's themed to Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Winterland.
I'm not quite sure the connection. It's just a random thing to throw in there, but I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Last year, the whole theme wasn't, but they have... essentially, they have this area that's like a bunch of ice sculptures, and they have it in really cold you know, 40 degrees, which
I loved it.
We're, you know, we're in Southern California, which, you know, we're from the East Coast, so we know about the winter, but, but, you know, I'm like, ah, I was wearing shorts. anyways, the ice sculpture, it's kind of a maze, but, you know, no one jumps out of you. It was themed to, you know, Christmas Carol, the story of Scrooge. So most of that is, you know, not scary, but they did have a few kind of cool,
it was awesome
images of the ghost of Christmas future.
Past.
I thought it was future.
Ghost of Christmas past.
Well, the future one's the scary one. He's like...
Well, there's also the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah, but the Christmas past isn't scary.
They're all scary.
No, they're not. They're all... The first two are people that Ebenezer knew.
Whatever.
Are you kidding me?
I've never heard somebody say the ghost of Christmas future.
That's the name of the character. What are you talking about?
I'm gonna look it up.
What's the last ghost called? Everyone's waiting on bated breath to see the name of the character, which doesn't even matter because it's not. That was last year's.
I don't know. When I wrote in the ghost of everything pops up, Christmas past.
But that's not the ghost of Christmas past. You were wrong.
Whatever. You were wrong.
You were wrong. That was the ghost of Christmas past. It's not the scary one.
Whatever.
Anyways, they have... they do actually have like a Christmas maze with, instead of scary people in there, there's elves. So that's cute. They have ice skating, tubing. What else is there?
They might have hot chocolate.
Yeah. It's basically for Southern California people to pretend that they live in a cold climate.
Yeah.
What, I'm looking forward to seeing how they incorporate Alice in Wonderland into all this stuff. So we'll be covering that event. You know, follow our social media. We'll certainly be, you know, live posting about it. And if we feel that there's enough to talk about, maybe I'll bring Shannon back on.
Woo!
And we'll talk about that. There's not too many, like... Creepy Kingdom-esque Christmas events to cover.
There is something in December we might go to, put on by Sinister Point, but
yeah, well, those are like, it's like a, you know, that's kind of, we're talking about what you think, it's like a horror Christmas,
yeah,
haunt type thing. Grinchmas was fun at Universal Studios.
Yep,
we went to that last year. Universal was Hollywood. I'm not sure. What they're really doing over there in Orlando with that. I know they have Grinchmas as well. But I found it extremely entertaining and amusing when we went to it last
year. Yes. It was an interesting time.
To say the least. But anyways, this might be the last time you hear Shannon on the show for a while, unless she... This is the only time I can really convince her to come on the show is when I get her to talk about something that she's already written about for Nightmarish Conjurings.
Yeah.
I can't
really.
That's
a true theme.
Other than that, she won't do it. Sorry, guys.
Sorry. I'm a busy girl.
All right. Well, we're going to. This post review banter is amusing enough, but I'm sure everyone's loving it. But we are going to wrap it up. We are going to take off. So, Shannon, people want to learn all about
Nightmarish Conjurings.
Yeah. How the heck do they do it?
You can find us online at www.nightmarishconjurings.com.
www. You forgot the http://.
So, you can find us there. And you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Nightmarish Conjurings. And on Twitter at Nightmarish with a 1 for the eye.
Isn't there 2 eyes?
Yeah, it's for the second eye.
All right.
So that's where you can find us.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for coming on again, Shannon.
Thanks for having us, me.
Wow, is there like a split personality thing going on here?
And we'll talk again next year.
No, I'll bring you on for next year. Kicking and screaming, you'll be back on for next year. This very episode of the Creepy Kingdom podcast is being brought to you by the art of Bob Lizaraga. He has designed characters and illustrated for a wide variety of studios, including Warner Brothers Animation, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, and the famous monsters of Filmland Magazine, which is not a studio, it's a magazine. He has some incredible Haunted Mansion-inspired art, such as a piece called Alley Gal, which takes the famous stretching room portrait and flips it around. And it has Miss De La Cruz in the alligator position. And also one of my favorites that he's done, which I actually own, is called Haunted Mansion Bathroom. It's pretty incredible, the amount of detail and all the things that are going on in this spooky haunted bathroom. It's awesome. I mean, I think it belongs in every bathroom. I have it in mine, so... He also does his take on the classic Universal monsters, Vampira, the Addams Family. It goes on and on and on. All you need to do is go to Etsy.com/shop/BobLizaraga. The link to the shop will be in our show notes in case you're driving or jogging or something and you can't look it up right now. But when you get there, put in the coupon code CREEPY and get 15% off with a minimum of a $15 purchase. Pretty much everything he has in the store is $15. That URL again is etsy.com/shop/BobLizaraga.